So Jeremiah, are you recording attendance based on who's here?
Yes, I've noted it for now.
Thank you. So I'd like to call the meeting to order. May I have a motion to call the meeting to order?
Zena.
Agenda.
Oh, thank you. And to approve the agenda, thank you.
this is Zena. I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Thank you, Kennedy and Zena. Betsy, roll call.
Here.
Not roll call, but I'm going to call everyone's names. Sorry. And if you could say yes to the motion. Thank you.
Sorry.
Please.
I should move this to a larger screen. Yes, I approve.
Thank you. Huey?
Aye.
Zena?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Madhu?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Ken?
Aye.
Denise?
Aye.
Thank you. Are there any presentations from the floor for non-agenda items? Any presentations on the floor for agenda items?
Farnaz, I just want you to know that when you're presenting your screen is also showing some other tabs,
sorry,
including the
sorry.
Speech you have planned.
Sorry. Thank you, Allison. I think your screens must be bigger than mine, unless mine didn't show. I apologize for that. It's multitasking parenthood. Okay. Thank you. So the first presentation that we have is on the recommendation for a salary schedule for principals and assistant principals. And we reviewed this presentation with the Finance Committee, and we wanted to bring it to you for your consideration. So with that, I just wanted to share the reasoning for it. The idea is to implement a schedule for principals and assistant principals. There's no salary schedule being recommended for deans, as we don't have enough comp data and we only have two deans at this time. And similarly, there's no salary schedule being recommended for directors because we only have one of each type of director. And we really did a comp analysis between Tracy and I. We spent a lot of that time doing comp analyses for everyone. And from what we could see, relative to other charter schools of similar size, which is really important. It's really important not to compare to district schools or to charter schools with 20 charters. Our director salaries were competitive for the most part, and a few of them required increases. And the idea is that by implementing a salary schedule, we're going to be more equitable long-term, in the same way that a salary schedule for teachers ensures an equitable implementation of salaries across the board. It also ensures that for leaders, and it's not dependent on one person advocating strongly for themselves that they should earn more and someone else not doing so, which some data would suggest can be reflected based on a person's gender or race or their comfort with negotiation. So it creates a more equitable structure. Our hope is to conduct comp analysis every 3 years to ensure that we're able to remain competitive. And then also in 2024, our hope when we do the comp analysis is to come back and see if there's any additional schedules we should be implementing at the school. So what you can see in this first slide here is that over here is where ECS principals were in comparison to other charter schools of similar sizes. What's important about this is that some of these charter schools have leaders with slightly higher tenure than our principals. Our average is at 5 years. Some of these are at 8 years. So even after we're recommending the salary schedule increase, that's going to put our principals at the levels of the pink and the turquoise dots. They are higher because their principals have more experience, more years, and their schedules are actually quite similar to ours, where they have schedules and where they don't have schedules. We got salary data from several principals at their schools and got averages there. So this was a lot of work from Tracy and I and some people on the HR team collecting data. We are significantly lower than LAUSD, and what we're recommending is in line with Hawthorne because our school sizes aren't that different. And what we're putting here for you guys is this is the recommended salary schedule. Some of these positions are seeing very significant increases, but that's because they have not been sustainable for some time. Like, I think our principals have consistently brought to attention that our schedule needed to be updated. Similarly, the salary schedule for the salaries for our assistant principals at the middle school level were significantly lower. So the blue dot here is our middle school average assistant principal salary, which is significantly lower than that at many of the other schools. Our high school assistant principal salary was relatively in line with what some of the other schools are paying. So we're seeing a slight increase we're recommending for the high school principals and a more significant increase for our middle school principals. And when you look at this slide, that reflects both the salary schedule so they can plan on how much they're going to get next year and the year after that, hopefully. And then also it reflects the increase across sites. This high school increase includes two assistant principals because there's two APs there at this time. This is a required slide that that Tracy said was required to be in this presentation because you're doing my evaluation today. I really have no comments, and it's fine. We are here at ECS, and this is where we compare to similar charter schools. You can see that the similar charter schools were very much in line with charter schools that have three and four schools here, less than the ones that have a lot more. And so it makes sense, and we're in line with that. As it relates to other directors, we're implementing anywhere from a 2 to a 10% increase for directors across the organization. Directors who were recently hired and recently had comp analyses done are not getting a 2% increase. The average director is getting a 2% increase. The ones that have been here for last year and the comp analysis suggests that their salary is in line with other districts are recommended for a 5% increase because last year we had a salary freeze. So that's 2 years, two years, the first year 2% and the second year 3%. So that's the combination of those two. And then there were two directors that we wanted to give a more significant increase to because of comp analysis. So with that, any questions? I'll also add that I did the presentation at Cabinet for the principals and APs this week, and they were really thrilled and very grateful and are looking forward to a more sustainable model going forward. So they also really love the idea. Ken recommended this at the Finance Committee meeting of us having a schedule where we analyze regularly and ensure that we are remaining competitive. Ken, was that you? I want to give credit where it's due. That was Bruce. We really appreciated that. So okay. No questions, no comments. Okay, excellent.
I'm happy to say that I know we've struggled with this for the last 20 years, and I'm glad we're moving in this direction. So thanks for the work that you put into this, Farnaz.
Thanks, Allison. So with that, we're ready to go to consent items A through D. Do you guys need me to share my screen, or do you have it in front of you? Share? Yeah. Awesome. Okay. May I have a motion to approve consent items A through D.
This is Janina, and I motion to approve consent items A through G.
May I have a second for A through D? Sorry.
This is Madhu. I'm seconding to approve items A through D.
Thank you. Huey?
I am going to abstain in relation to item D2. So I don't know, they're not parceled out, so I guess I'll have to abstain for the whole vote.
Jeremiah, do you recommend that we take that one out and vote for it separately so that it is parceled out when we have someone abstaining on one item?
You can, in the minutes, you can just say which part of it was approved and which part wasn't. And we can parcel it out that way. Dr. Barnes, you're referring to the Hansberger and Klein legal agreement?
Right.
Okay.
So do you approve A through C, Dr. Barnes?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. Madhu?
Sorry, just one clarifying question. A through C and D for the first agreement, the federal E-rate contract, you're not abstaining from that?
Okay, the consent item D2 is the one that I'm particularly abstaining from, and action items 5C and 5D.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you. Madhu, may I have your vote?
Aye.
Thank you. Betsy?
Aye.
Zina?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Ken?
Yeah, I guess I'd like some more discussion on this item. I don't understand what this is or the comments about the billing rate, Hansberger and Klein. I don't know who that is or what that's about.
Excellent. Sorry that I didn't pause for discussion. Allison, you have been the person who's been working with Hansberger and Klein, right, on the billing rate?
I don't think so, but I've worked with Hansberger and Klein. They're a law firm that specializes in special ed support services for charter schools. So I think it's just our yearly like re-upping their ability to serve us when we call on them. We don't currently have, as far as I know, anything that's happening that we're using them, but it's just their, they send out a yearly update on what their yearly hourly rate's gonna be.
And my recollection is when we first negotiated a rate with them, they were significantly below any of the competitive law firms that we got bids from. And I think this brings them closer to the other law firms, but still is below the rates of many of them.
Why are we approving something that we, you know, aren't actually incurring expenses on?
I think it's a requirement from the law firm for us to have a retainer fee set for them for the year.
But so it looks like there is no retainer. No.
I'm sorry, not retainer fee, but a regular fee that they will charge us for the year approved.
Do we expect that to exceed the $15,000 contract amount that we would normally approve?
Based on what I know at this moment, thankfully we don't have any issues in the special education department that are on the cusp of going legal. Nothing has been reported to me of late.
So I guess I don't see why this needs to be approved. And I'm wondering, secondly, if we've gone out for other bids, if their rates have gone up so much.
Well, we use different law firms to specialize in different areas. I'm not sure why this is on the board agenda because I wasn't involved in it, but I do know that I've always liked using them, and they have been very fair with us. And they're a small family run business that specializes in special education legal services. But I didn't put it on the agenda, so I'm not sure why it's here right now.
I wanted to add that I did receive that letter along with some other leadership here. And it is a requirement of the law firm. They need a retainer agreement. But as Ken noted, there is no retainer deposit. We don't have to pay each month.
So it may not need board approval
then,
because it's under $15,000.
The law firm requires it. We don't require it.
Jeremiah, just to clarify, the law firm requires board approval?
Yes, they need our board to approve it. I think in the case that they do exceed our threshold, that's just their practice, that they get board approval from school boards. So, I mean, that's what we've done in prior years. It doesn't guarantee that we have to spend any certain number of dollars, though.
It does state it on page 3 it requires board approval.
And I was just showing the signature page requires board president sign.
All right, so everybody is comfortable with this? Staff, that is?
We are. I've found that they are a very fair law firm on all the issues that we've taken to them. They are very, they don't charge for extra hours. They barely charge for the hours that they work for us sometimes. And they've been very thoughtful partners and have been helpful. And I'm very grateful for the fact that we haven't had to use them for a long time, but historically they have been wonderful.
Okay.
And in the event that we would go ahead and look at other law firms, we can withdraw this retainer agreement and
absolutely
and cease that relationship.
Okay. Absolutely. We can go out to bid and try to find other law firms. Their fees are still much lower than some of the other firms that we work with.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll approve.
Thank you. Kennedy?
Yes, I would approve.
Denise?
Aye.
Anthony?
Aye.
Thank you, Anthony. Can I hand off to you?
Sure. I have the agenda up. I have it in front of me, but I don't know.
I can share it if you want.
That'd be great. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your patience as I was delayed in my travel. So are we moving on to the action items?
Yes.
Okay. So action item A is approving the salary schedule for principals and assistant principals as recommended by the finance committee. I'll have a motion to approve and then open it up for discussions. Any conversations for Nas would like to provide around the action item A. Do I have a motion to approve?
Yeah, I'll move to approve.
I'll second that, Denise.
Arnaz, did you want to provide any commentary on?
I did a presentation I went through the presentation for them and asked them questions about it. I'm happy to answer any additional questions if anybody has them.
Okay. That being said, I just want to make sure we're giving people ample opportunity to ask any questions before we vote. Okay. Ken.
Aye.
Denise.
Aye.
Huey.
Aye.
Madhu.
Aye.
Zena.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Dr. Hamilton.
Aye.
And Anthony. Aye. We have approved the salary schedule for principals and assistant principals as recommended by Finance Committee.
The next item is about the testing plan. And Danielle, do you want to share your screen and do the quick presentation on this?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Let me share my screen. Thanks to Farnaz and Jeremiah for getting this going for me.
Our pleasure.
Sorry, thanks. Okay, can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. So I'm sharing with you our summative testing plan. I think the last time we met, I shared with you that we had some choices. So these are the choices that we have selected based on guidance from lots of different sources. So the first most important point is that both the U.S. Department of Education, the California State Board of Ed, and the California Department of Ed all agree that students should not be brought to campus, back to campus, for the sole purpose of summative testing. So that's a really important piece of context that although we're getting lots of different guidance from different sources, everybody agrees on this one point. And the CDE allows, and the CDE and the State Board of Ed allow LEAs to administer other assessments when giving a statewide assessment is not the most viable option. So the most viable option for ECS is here on this slide. The middle schools, it's to, or for all schools, is to administer LPAC to all English learners. But at the middle school, it's to administer NWA and ELA and math and instead of CASP and CASTA, the state testing for math, ELA, and science. And at ECHS, it's to do the LPAC as with ECMS for all English learners. And to do CASP in ELA and math. So then I just want to kind of walk you through how we our rationale for this recommendation. This is what the CDE said. So back to this previous slide, we have this choice about, or we have to make the assessment about what is the most viable option. And this is the guidance they provided in making the decision about what is most viable for an LEA. I'll give you a moment to read these bullets. So as you can see, these considerations are really equity-minded. Like, will it be fair and equitable for students to give an assessment? If so, then it should be the most viable. If not, if there are some equity concerns, challenges like to technology or to access to practicing using the software, the hardware, if instructional implications make giving testing or using a particular test inequitable, then it is not, it should not be the most viable option. So at ECMS, this is a little bit more detail than in that previous slide. What we are planning for is remote and in-person testing of NWA in reading and math. So an LPAC for all English learners, that's happening remote and in-person, and no CASP, that's in ELA and math, and no CAST, the science test, which usually happens for eighth graders. And the reason you can see under the rationale is really all of our available resources right now have been devoted to campus visits, which we presented to you last time. Remote testing for CASP requires a new secure browser, which requires installation on all student and teacher hardware, as well as training on the new interface. And it also presents some other inequities that the CDE urged us to consider on the previous slide in terms of access to internet, and also part of the secure browser requires webcam monitoring. And another consideration for us is that we have given successfully the NWA remotely this school year. So we're recommending the NWA instead of CASP for ECMS. Next is ECHS. So this is different.
Sorry. Are we allowed to ask questions or should we just wait to the end?
It can go either way. Jeremiah, can you tell me what you recommend?
What's the best? I mean, I'm fine waiting.
Sure. Okay. Let's pause and we can go back to ECMS and And then Kennedy, what's your question?
Okay. So I really want to test. So you're saying no CASP for ECMS because the main rationale is all available resources have been devoted to campus visits?
Yeah.
Can you say more? What do you mean by campus? I know you presented that last time.
Oh yeah, that's the spring reopening plan that we talked about last time. So the weekly visits to campus, the physical in-person visits that started at starting at both middle schools this week. One of our school leaders likened it to starting the school year as a new school year, right? Which is what's happening right now, except they don't have the benefit of having had summer to get ready for it. So that's what I mean by all available resources. The kind of getting ready, the physical plan, all the leadership capacity, parent communication, teacher focus and instruction, you think of it, you name it, that's what we're devoting in terms of resources to campus visits. So I know that's like a little kind of throwaway bullet. Thanks for asking me to elaborate. But because of that, it makes training, it means installing and training students and teachers on this new secure browser that's required for CASP administration. We don't have enough resources basically to do both, to both be getting kids back on campus and used to health and safety protocols and parents accustomed to a new schedule, teachers too, and also getting all the tech requirements in place to do CASP testing. We don't have to do that sort of heavy lift by administering NWA, which is why we've made this selection.
And okay, no, that makes more sense to me. Thank you for clarifying. So you're basically saying for the school reopening, all the resources have been allocated to school reopening. And now to set up CASP with these new browser requirements and the administration of CASP, also that in itself is a very heavy logistical lift. So yes. I get that. And so since we're not required using the NWA map testing would provide enough assessment data in the especially to the teachers so they can do the student interventions. And then in the future, the district should be open to accepting that data because the CASP is not required. So this is actually a really good time. If we had to make that decision, this is actually the perfect time. Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Kennedy. Thanks for doing my presentation better than me. I appreciate it. I think it's the best time, and honestly, we don't have a choice. If our priority is getting kids back on campus and getting campuses ready for that shift, we can't really do both. We did try, our plan was to start the campus visits and then have kids test, and we just kind of ran out of time and ran out of resources. But like you said, we've got experience doing NWA and we have a lot of historical data. So the information we get from NWA at the middle school level will be valuable and useful to us in understanding what our kids have learned and what instructional priorities we need to set for the next school year.
Thank you. Now I have one other question in terms of the NWA. It says remote and in-person. So I'm assuming that remote is for the students who don't want to come in person. So we're allowing them that offer. But my one, it's a concern, not really a concern, but it's basically equity, right? So, I have experience administering the NWA remotely, and it's, while successful, it's really hard to do. And equity-wise, the folks that have the hardest time accessing the technology are the ones that get hurt the most. So it sounds like you guys are really taking that into consideration and only extending remotely to the people who really want it and don't want to come in person, but we're motivating people who can to come in person and take the NWA for equity reasons.
That's right. Yep. That is what that means. So what we expect is the preponderance of our students will be doing NWA remotely because we have done it. We did it in January or February. So we know what's possible. And kids and parents have had practice. Also, our tech team has had months to replace computers, offer hotspots, and really try to triage some of the technology and Wi-Fi connectivity inequity that was revealed by that practice administration or midterm administration in January. Also, what's been happening in the interim is understanding whether students and kids and parents feel like they have quiet testing space at home for students that allows for them to concentrate, whether their internet allows kids to be online for an extended period of time with Zoom running and in browser open, so that if it's not possible, or if there are concerns, or if a student just feels like I cannot concentrate at home, and or a parent agrees, those students and parents are filling out surveys and getting signed up and to come onto campus to test in person.
Awesome.
Yes.
That warms my heart. Thank you.
Good. Glad. Like I said, this is taxing on everybody in terms of the logistics, but it is really important to us, as an organization, that that we're making decisions that serve equity. Are there any other questions or comments for ECMS? If so, just talk, because I cannot see all your faces right now. All right, I'm going to move on to ECHS, if that's okay. And then I can answer questions there. Oops, so sorry. Okay, so for ECHS, a little bit different. So 11th graders are going to be taking CASP. So they're going to take the state test in ELA and math. ELs are going to take the LPAC that's already underway at all three schools. And our 12th graders who normally would take the science test are not going to take that. And again, the rationale is very similar. All of our available resources are currently being devoted to campus visits, but because for 11th graders, scoring a score of proficient or higher on the CASP, ELA, and math helps them meet the early assessment program requirements for CSUs, where most of our students matriculate, this is where we had the resources available in terms of our tech team and all the other logistical pieces. This is where we're kind of focusing and siphoning those resources to support the use of the new browser and the new technology and the rules around remote testing and in-person administration. They're all being funneled and devoted to those 11th graders because of the implications for college enrollment and placement at the CSU level. Because of that, because of all those resources being funneled to 11th grade, it means that we don't have the resources to support the CASP test in science for 12th graders. And I forgot to mention also happening right now at the high school level is AP testing as well. So we can do it for 11th graders, but pretty much only 11th graders at the high school level. Any questions about that? Or comments? And just to clarify, just like at the middle schools, you'll see it says for 11th grade remote and in person, and that's true for the LPAC too. We're doing the same thing that I kind of described in that exchange with Kennedy. Any students who don't have equitable testing conditions at home or access to technology, hardware problems, any of that, are being invited to come and test in person. And that's been kind of getting that information about who's who has been underway for months now. This is maybe a little bit too much information, but if you were curious about what normally happens versus what's happening this year, I've summarized it in the previous slides. It's here for your reference. If there's any other questions, comments, please let me know. I'll stop sharing.
Okay, I think in the interest of time, if there are no comments, questions, or concerns, do we have a motion to approve the ECS Spring 2021 Summative Testing Plan?
This is Kennedy. I motion that we approve the 2021 Summative Assessment Plan.
This is Huey. I second it.
Thank you, Huey. Ken?
Aye.
Denise?
Aye.
Huey?
Aye.
Nadu?
Aye.
Zena?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Dr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Anthony, aye. We have approved the ECS Spring 2021 Summative Testing Plan. Moving on to C, approved development support and project agreement by and among ECS HS Gardenia Menlo Charter Properties and MBB and Gardena LLC. That's a mouthful. First, do I have a motion to approve that? And then we can have Allison provide any insight and discussion.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve that.
Thank you, Ken. Do I have a second?
This is Madhu, I second.
Thank you, Madhu. Allison, did you want to provide any insight before we move to questions or concerns?
I'm happy to. This is what we reviewed at our last board meeting where I shared a PowerPoint that described the relationship that ECS, Environmental Charter Schools, has with our special purpose entity, Menlo Charter Properties. And by working with that relationship, the Menlo Charter Properties develops, buys the property that we're eventually gonna lease, and then develops that property and then leases it back to ECS. And so this is a development agreement where ECS and Menlo are partnering to make sure that Environmental Charter High School Gardena has a future site.
Thank you, Allison. Any questions, concerns? Okay. Then I'll go to Ken.
Aye.
Denise.
Aye.
Huey.
I'll abstain.
Okay. Madhu.
Aye.
Zena.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Betsy.
Aye.
And Anthony, aye. So we have all in favor with one abstention. The move passes. So we have approved item number C on the action items. And then finally, approve the sublease agreement between Menlo Charter Properties and ECHS Gardenia.
So Allison, to remind everybody, last time we met, I shared how Menlo was purchasing the site that is at 2818 Manhattan Beach Boulevard, which is just across the street from El Camino College. And that as part of that purchase sale agreement, until the purchase sale goes through, we are entering into a lease agreement as part of that purchase sale agreement with the tenant, with the current owner of the property. And so Menlo is doing all that. And then Menlo is subleasing the site back to Environmental Charter High School Gardena. And so that lease agreement is described in item D. It is a lease agreement for the site at about 13, excuse me, it's not about, it's $13,000 a month until the time in which Menlo then purchases the site. And yeah, that's the temporary lease agreement that is for 1 year's term.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Okay, with that, do I have a motion to approve action item D?
Motion.
This is
I think Kennedy was one.
By a split second.
And who was that?
That's Janina. Janina, I second the motion.
Okay, fantastic. All right, Ken.
Aye.
Denise.
Aye.
Huey.
I will abstain.
Thank you, Huey. Madhu.
Aye.
Zena.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Betsy.
Aye.
Anthony, aye. We have one abstention. All else are in favor that we approve action item D. So thank you. Moving on to upcoming dates and announcements, so I'll turn it back over to Farnaz.
Just to let you know that the next board meeting, which is on May 25th at 5 p.m., is likely to be a long one. We'll probably need the full 2.5 hours or so for that. It's the annual LCAP meeting, so we're going to be looking at the LCAP, looking at all the budgets. We're getting about $6.5 million in additional funding between state funding, ESSER, GESSER, and ESSER 2 and 3 funding, which is phenomenal with a lot of resource requirements associated with it. And we've launched efforts to engage our parent community and students and teachers and everyone in how we're going to be using the funding. But I just wanted to give you a heads up that that meeting will be a robust one because it's going to be covering all of that information. That's it. So do we need to get a motion to adjourn into closed session, Anthony?
Yes, if I can get a motion to adjourn to closed session.
Zena, I motion to adjourn to closed session.
Thank you, Zena. Do I have a second?
I second. This is Madhu.
Madhu, thank you, Madhu. Ken?
Aye.
Denise.
Aye.
Huey.
Aye.
Madhu.
Aye.
Zena.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Betsy.
Aye.
And Anthony, aye. So we have approved the motion to adjourn. Thank you. We now will go into closed session.
Excellent. Anthony, I've made you host.
Okay, so thank you for rejoining us, Farnaz and Jeremiah. We had a very good conversation about a variety of things. And Farnaz, as you know, you and I spoke at length. And, you know, obviously the evaluations, both from a staff perspective and a board perspective, were extremely positive. I think you felt very happy and pleased and excited to what you saw and your leadership and your commitment to the organization. You know, your commitment to the vision and the values and the mission, the way you communicate, the way you support and coach and mentor your staff was very apparent. What you did during the pandemic was fantastic. The distance learning, the roots and soil, that diversity and inclusion was amazing work from our perspective. So I just want to start off by saying we all appreciate you. And it was very apparent in the evaluations. And so I'll open it that way. And if anyone else wants to provide any insights or appreciations to Farnaz, please do so.
I just want to appreciate you, Farnaz, your calm and steady leadership. And you had your finger on the pulse of what was needed. And so I think your leadership was exemplary.
And I just want to say one of the things that Janine actually commented was on your leadership on the equity discussion. The way you led our organization was phenomenal. very few people have the ability to give everybody a voice. And I think it took the organization to the next level, and a very complicated conversation, and there's yet a lot of work to be done. But the way you did that was masterful.
Thank you, guys. This means so much to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, this was an extraordinary year. And I mean, it would have been very easy to see things just coming unraveled all. And I think that your sort of rock steadiness was the thing that, you know, kept that from happening. So I would really just super appreciative of that.
You guys are making me blush. Thank you very much.
And for now, I want to add to that another description of you that echoed throughout our meeting was how humble you are. And as a leader who dealt with a handful of things this year, you led with humility, and we really appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Farnaz, we just love you. We just think you're fantastic, and we appreciate that you include all the stakeholders. You know, in the forefront is always the students and their families, and you know, you also really paid attention to the staff and supported everyone, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you so much. I'm really honored to get to work with you all. And it's been an incredible year. Anthony, you told me to prepare a presentation. So I sat there and I put together some slides, and I'm not going to bother you with it just because I think you're all way longer than you were expecting to today. But I feel like we've come a long way as an organization. And I think about like the first thing was like the mission statement and the strategic priorities benchmark chart was my first year, and a whole bunch of staffing challenges, like the worst I've ever experienced in my life. And then sort of restructuring everything and getting a single priority and pushing forward on a single priority, and then a pandemic. And you know, I just feel like I've come pretty far this year in terms of my confidence and trust in myself. I felt like I lost it for a while, partly because of the organizational culture and its like highly critical nature. And I think I've come back to it and feel like I'm in the right place at the right time. And I'm not questioning whether I'm the right person for this. So that feels really good. So I'm so grateful for you all. I feel like we've got a lot of really exciting work with the new high school to launch and all the fundraising efforts underway. But I'm very grateful, and I'm grateful for all of you because you mentor me in different ways. And I feel like I'm like weekly getting notes and feedback from Betsy about what's happening at the superintendent meetings that we don't gain access to, and regularly talking to Anthony for feedback. It's a different relationship than it started with this board, and I'm very grateful for that. So thank you.
Thank you, and you are the right person. So, you know, one thing that, and we'll work now, on
Anthony, there's one thing I got to say, of course. And I don't want to shift the light, but behind every great CEO, there's a great operations master. So there's a great Jeremiah.
So true. So true.
Thank you.
Super. Well said. You know, we'll work together, Farnaz, and with the board on some of the feedback that we received and opportunities for, you know, for improvement that you and I discussed, the student performance piece, ensuring that we have specific goals for you to work on and ensure that, you know, we've got those set up. You know, we talked a little bit about some other items, collaboration and less meetings, that, and working towards those pieces. So just getting a plan set up based on the feedback to ensure that we're moving those balls forward. Mm-hmm. But overall, fantastic job. Everyone's very happy. And with that, you know, in the closed session, you know, we did approve the a 5% increase in your salary as compensation. Note that.
Thank you.
And with that, anything else anyone wants to discuss, reflect on based on our conversations? Was that someone talking in the background?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Who that was, but I'll just say, Farnaz, I hope you know how I feel about your leadership, and you've been just as much a mentor to me as when Anthony said mentoring, I said, oh, I didn't think of it that way. But it's been very mutual, and I admire your leadership pre-pandemic, and certainly even more so during the pandemic, because to remain steady, keep your eyes on the prize of why you're in this work and how you serve the staff that you lead while keeping everyone together is just, it's a big job. It's a huge job, and I think you've done an outstanding job.
Thank you, Betsy. That means a lot coming from me. I admire you so much. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, congratulations on a wonderful review. Congratulations on your compensation increase, well-deserved. And with that, I think we need to do another motion to adjourn. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I move to adjourn.
All right, do I have a second?
Janina, I second the motion.
Thank you, Janina. So Ken.
Aye.
Huey.
Aye.
Madhu, is Madhu still there?
Nope. She had to leave, she chatted.
Zina.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Betsy.
Aye.
And Anthony, aye. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much for your time. I know we went a bit over, but I think it was important to go through that, and especially when it comes to Farnaz and what she's done for the organization. So once again,
thank you all.
You. Have a good night.
Thank you so much. Goodbye. Thank you all. Thank you.
Bye.
Night, everyone.
Night.
Good night.